Beautiful. Thank you so much for giving me this third part of the interview. So last time we learned about you and your background and your journey to get a cosplay laid, and I think we stopped at how you actually became involved with Yatsurke. So do you want to pick up there?
The main person, who helped me to find out about Tsuhe is actually one of my old professors. Her name is Dr. Altschuler. She's now retired, but she was my professor when I got my bachelor's degree, and then when I went back for the master's, I also had her in the program. And she knew about my situation during my bachelor's program, and I was able to confide with her, and she was really nice. What I liked about her was that she was non-judgmental. She was always, very open and tried to help. And she during the master's program, I was working on a thesis, and that's when she told me about Tsuhe, that there was a group that was starting. And so I went ahead and looked for the students, and I was also able to interview some for the thesis. And it was very nice. It was very nice, for me to finally be able to meet people that understood exactly what I was going through. Because in my cohort of students who were doing the master's program, I mean, maybe I didn't ask, but I didn't know of anybody who was in the same situation. So it was just nice to go to Tsuhe, get to know the students, know that they were going through similar things, and that we could relate with the stories, For example, of course, you're young and you also want to go out and everything. And I remember clearly how it was for us to go clubbing, and how, of course, we shared our experiences with getting our Mexican ID out while you are trying to get into a club, and the faces, the reactions that you get, or the questions. And it was just nice to have someone else that you could relate to. And I think that is what Tsuhe was for me. It was a place where I felt like finally I found a group of people that really understand, or that I can relate to. And that made a difference. It made a difference in the way I felt about myself, and the way I felt about just, being a student who was trying to make something of herself, just like they were.
Right. Okay, so it was like finding your community. So, first, what was your thesis about? And you're doing that, the master's in social work?
In social work,
In social work. And what was that thesis about?
Oh my gosh. Exactly.
Kind of.
It was basically, it was on understanding the stories of undocumented students. So it was, I did a few interviews, or I did some interviews, and I put them together as an oral history and used that as my thesis. And I did it mainly more as a personal, a personal experience, going through that and being able to find these students, and made me think, people don't know who we really are. And I know at that time IDeaS was coming out, and then they came out with, I think there was a magazine, more stuff on, just being invisible and then finally being seen. And it was around that time when everything was happening. And so I decided to do the thesis on that.
Do you remember who you interviewed?
Jorge, Norma, I think I interviewed Luis, and then there were some other students that are no longer there. But yeah, there were quite a few getting their histories. Yeah.
So then you have some experience recording oral history. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not your first time. You actually did it on the other side.
I actually, yes, I actually did it. It was a really stressful time for me, though. If I could go back, I would probably do things different in terms of how I presented the thesis. But it was just personally, I could say that I was in a spot where, yes, Surge came at a time where I needed them, but the way when I met Surge, it was almost towards the end of my studies. You know what I mean? And so I think it was towards, we started working on the thesis towards the end of the first year. The master's program was 2 years. So towards the end, we needed to present our ideas. And then that second year was working on it. And Surge came along during that last year, and I just felt like I was bombarded with so many things. You know, I was bombarded with just the program, the internships, you know, and then having to do the thesis, and then my personal life, you know, which was a lot. And so I had a thesis advisor that I had chosen because she was really, really involved in the community, and a lot of people knew her. And so I figured, I think this would be a good match.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it was not a good match. It was a terrible experience, a horrible experience. And I ended up feeling more defeated than anything else. And like, maybe there was something wrong with me. English is my second language, you know, and I don't consider myself being really strong in writing skills, I will say. For me, you know, if I really want to open up and share how I really feel, I always go to Spanish, you know? And Spanish is like how I can really express myself. And, you know, I don't think I was able to connect with the professor the way I thought. And so because of the way things happen, I was delayed, you know, I didn't finish my thesis on time, and it took me another, so we graduated in June, and I didn't finish my thesis till April of the following year, and by that time, I was just like, como que ya me había dado por vencida, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm tired, I'm done. I can't believe I didn't finish like my other colleagues. And so that's when Dr. Altshuler also came in, and she was like my angel. She said, I'll be your thesis advisor. And she worked with me. And trust me, when I say she worked with me, it was like literally like pushing me, because I just didn't feel it. I was done. I was just like, I couldn't believe what had happened with the first person, with the first thesis advisor, and then being done and feeling like I have nothing. You know, I graduated and I have nothing.
Right.
And then I got married. I got married after graduation, to be honest. And I was just starting that whole life again. And it was just a lot. So I wish I could go back and dedicate more time, just like how enthusiastic I was at the beginning. But no, it didn't end up being like that. But, you know, it was made, it was done. And again, if there was one thing that I would have wished, is that I wish Surge had been there from the beginning.
And you found out about Surge in 2006 as they were forming, or after?
No, as they were forming. Okay. As they were forming, because I remember that we met at my ex-husband's house where he was living at the moment in Culver City, and we met there to come up with the name.
Oh, that's true. Okay,
to come
so
up
yeah,
with the name
so
for Surge. Yeah.
They just weren't there before when you were doing your undergrad at Costa.
No, I don't remember them being there. I don't remember hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think because I was close to the person that helped me to get into Cal State LA, and I would touch base with him here and there. And I'm sure he would have told me if there was something that was open
yeah,
at that time.
They started in 2006.
So. Yeah, I mean, it was AB 540 before. That's mm-hmm. how we were classified, but there was nothing really out there. No. Yeah. Wow. So I was surprised that my professor knew about it. But then again, you know, she's always been really involved, and probably because, you know, our profession, social work, you know, probably it was just a resource that she had heard of. But again, yes, when I met them, they were just starting. They were just forming. Yeah.
Would you mind sharing why was the first advisor that you picked so not helpful?
You know, I realized that, okay, so I had had her as a professor, you know, I had her as a professor in my, I think I had her once in my bachelor's, and then I had her for two classes in the master's program. And I don't want to say this, but I think sometimes there are professors that are really passionate about what they do, which is basically who she was. You know, she was a Chicana, and she was really proud and would do a lot. But then compared to other professors on campus, I could sense that she had her favorites when it comes to students.
Okay.
You know, so in class, you know, she always would choose the same people, will always admire the same people, acknowledge them, and then when it was somebody new, it was just like, disregard them. I was not one of the people that, you know, she really saw as someone who, you know, that she really liked. So I think that was the first thing that I should have known, that, you know, perhaps, you know, this is not going to work. And then, once I, you know, she and I started working, I guess it was the way she came across was, or the way I felt towards the requirements that she wanted or how she wanted this was, I started to feel like perhaps I was not good enough, you know, mm-hmm. with what she wanted, the language a certain way, mm-hmm. written a certain way. And again, I don't think my writing is my strongest. And so I think that was, I don't know if that was disappointing to her, the fact that I was not at that level, because she herself is a researcher.
Right.
And so then it became, I think it was like, I will bring in the paperwork, and she would be like, no, 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 no. And it was just like, you know, what is this? And I think after that, I got some issues with counter-transference where I started like feeling like, oh my gosh, she's just like my mom in many ways, you know? And then it kept on reminding me about that. And so one day I just said, you know what? I don't think this is working out. I was crying, and I said, I don't think this is working out. You know, you remind me a lot of my mother. And she became upset. She became upset, and she said, you know, that, you know, she was like an icon, you know, that, you know, she was just so good at what she does, and no one could be like her. And, you know, it's like, so there was a sense of entitlement and everything, and it just didn't work.
But then I'm glad that you have yours.
Yeah, so then it took, this was already, we were supposed to be, you know, close to, I mean, I'm not saying we were supposed to be done, but we were halfway there, and it really pushed me back, and then I didn't really want to do it. I went into a depression, and I didn't really want to do anything. And luckily, the school social work with me to the point where I just said, I can't do this. So I was able to walk, and, you know, then I was able to present my thesis. Yeah, but until April, from June to April.
It took two more semesters, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And quarters, there were quarters.
Yeah.
Like it is.
Yeah. No, but I think towards the end, they became a semester, yeah.
Oh, you had experience of
them
in a semester. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. was nicer.
You think they're nicer?
Yeah. Well, in some ways, because at the same time, it was just too much time in between. That with the quarter system, you felt like everything was rushed. And you didn't have time to be lazy, you know? And with the semester, it's like, I still have time, I still have time. But,
yeah. Yeah, not a fun semester. I feel like I get lazy. So one thing that you share is that you like having the people and share the experience of showing your Mexican, your consular, let's say your consular.
Yeah.
Ready? Okay. When you were clubbing. How was that? How did that make you feel with other? It was not only you showing the ID, but it was other.
It was, you know, it was just an experience or a feeling of feeling like I belong, you know? Like I was not the only one that was different. Because all of my friends, the ones that I used to hang out with, you know, were either born here or, you know, they were. They had their papers, so that was never an issue. And so going out, I remember specifically one day my friends invited me to go to Santa Barbara, and we were out there and we stayed over and, you know, we went clubbing out there. And I mean, Santa Barbara, you know, I was away from home, and here they wanted to go clubbing, and here I take out my consular, and then that security went to talk to another security, and that security went to talk to another security. And it's just like, oh my gosh, what are they going to say? Are they going to accept it or not? And da 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 da. And it was just nerve wracking. And, you know, just to feel isolated in many ways because my friends were able to go in. I just had to wait outside until they said things are okay, you know, and the way they check and the way they look at you and, you know, what's this? You know, why? So. I don't know how it came about in a Surge meeting, you know, but we just started talking about some of the things that we like to do. And again, we were all in our 20s. So going out, having fun is a normal thing. And so everybody, we just started talking about. And then la foto que como se mira, you know, it's like they don't even take a nice picture. And look at this and how embarrassing. And then it went on to. How will we use it, you know, to get into clubbing? And it was just finally someone really knows, you know, someone really knows. Because people can tell you, oh, I understand or I can imagine, but they can do it here in their head, but they don't know how it feels.
Right.
How it feels to be there, you know, to have one security go to another one and then they look at you and they keep on staring at you, and then you're all nervous and, you know, wondering, oh, shoot, what's going to happen? You know, it's all these emotions that come in.
Right. So having your friends, your community, make you feel like they knew, they felt it.
Yeah, they have felt it. Yeah. Yeah. Which is very different than saying, I can imagine.
Yes,
very different than saying, oh, I get it, because no, you don't get it. You don't know what the feeling is.
Until you went to the same experiences, then you cannot relate, right?
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. That's what we're talking about earlier, right? It just feels so personal because it's personal. Because we had gone through the same experiences.
Yeah.
At some point or another, but
yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I remember those times of having the consular.
Yes.
Peeling from the side because it looked like a Dino, they just put a plastic over.
They don't even wait for you to say smile. They just
just take it. Yes. So we already talked about how you got involved with Surge. So now tell me, on what capacity were you involved with them?
So I went in there as a member. So again, when I went in there, it was a very small group.
Right.
And I remember Jorge and I remember Jose. I believe Jose was the president at that time. And then after he left, it was Jorge. I was only there that year, you know, that year until I finished the thesis, which was in April. of 2007. And then I tried staying connected as a member, but it was really difficult. You know, I used to live in Inglewood. Not even a year married. I was done with school. I was still working at Dolcini's. I will come into work, and that's when I will try to take advantage and participate.
Oh.
And then in May, I think my work permit came in, and then in June I had my green card. And because as soon as I got married, we applied for it, and I had gotten married the June before.
Right.
And
so you're after.
And then in July I started working, and I went all into it, and I started working for the county, and so it was too much. I couldn't do it anymore.
Okay. So after you graduated, you're still working on your master's thesis. You're still working at the Chini.
Mm-hmm.
And then from April to June, you're still working at the Chini.
Yes. So I was working there because, they knew me. I knew it was a place I could work. Mm-hmm. But yes. And I actually stopped working. I think I stopped working that last semester. I'm not even sure if I worked that much, but I was working very little. And the reason for that is because there was a sense of embarrassment, to be honest. A lot of the people that came in, all the people that usually comes into the Dolcini's at that time were regulars, right? We had a lot of people that were regular customers. And so you get to know them and they get to know you. And a lot of them knew that I had graduated already with the master's program. And it was like, what are you still doing here? You must really like it here. Like, how dare you be here when you have a degree? And so I think at the end, it just became too much that I just decided to quit, because I quit because it just became too much emotionally. Like, I didn't want to have to explain to people, but the feeling that I got was that I was doing something wrong, like, this is where I wanted to be instead of me doing something else. So, no, I think I stopped going to Surge even before, probably at the beginning of the year, because I did stop working, and my Nina asked me if I could work with her, and my Nina used to clean houses, and, she still does. And I will go with her 3 times a week to clean houses. And I think I did that for probably March till June till I got to the county.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So at Surge, I only came in as a member. As a member. And again, decisions were being made. And we, like I said, we met at my ex-husband's house and came up with the name. And I think it was Jose Beltran that actually came up with, the Surge.
And do you remember how was the structure during the Surge meetings? Like, who did it have, like, a head leader? Or how was the structure?
Yeah, I remember that there was a structure there. Jose, again, was the president. I'm not sure if Jorge was, like, the vice president or something else. Mm-hmm. But we did have someone taking notes. I do remember having a certain agenda we were following. And because all of that was needed in order to create the organization at Cal State LA, to be recognized.
To make it official, right?
Yeah, to make it official, because that is what we were trying to do, to become official, an official organization. Mm-hmm. So all of that was needed.
Think it was like an egalitarian organization where everyone had like a boys.
Yeah, it was.
And you never hold any leadership roles?
No, I don't remember. No.
But did you participate in any activism campaigns? Because I know that Surge got involved with the California Dream Act. pushing for the Federal Dream Act?
No, I don't. I didn't get involved that much. Just what was happening on campus.
Okay.
That was it. Like just what? On campus. I don't remember, but there were a couple of things that we did at that time. And then the other major one that I still remember is the La Marcha que se hizo.
The one in 2006?
Yeah, La Marcha que se hizo, yeah.
Did that you I participate heard, yeah. in that one?
Okay. With Surge, yes.
But this was, would it be in 2007 then?
Yeah, I think it was in 2007.
Because 2006, it happened. It was a big march in 2006.
Mm. But the biggest one was the following year.
No, in 2007?
Wasn't it in 2007? Because I remember that I was interviewing for jobs. I was interviewing for jobs. And
oh, then it must have been the one in 2007. Because the big movement was in 2006.
Yeah.
I mean, after that, the following years, there have been marches in May. Mm-hmm. Ever since. Not as big, right?
Pero en esa, en mayo, creo que fue la...
La más grande.
Okay. La más grande, yes. Because I was applying for... I was interviewing for jobs, and I specifically, after the march, I went to a job interview. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember.
But you went with Surge members?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How was that? How was that experience?
I think it was my first actual activism experience. And really? It was really nice. It was really nice to, I guess, to be speaking up for something that, you know, we wanted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did it feel empowering?
Yeah,
scary.
It did. It felt, it was empowering to see how many people were there and the impact that they were having. But I will say that it was also scary in some ways. Like, oh my gosh, you know, what about this? And I remember getting interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
I was interviewed, I'm not sure, it was a radio station. Pero no era de aquí, estaba, el acento se escuchaba como español, como que era de España o algo. No me acuerdo, pero okay. La cosa es que me empezaron a entrevistarme y luego también una señora del canal, she's a well-known reporter, she came close to me and we started talking, but then the commotion started with the, como se dice, las peleas y todo mm-hmm. lo que estaba pasando, that everything just got dispersed, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they approached you because you were with some students, or why?
We were dressed with our cap and gowns.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we were dressed with our cap and gowns, mm-hmm. and we had signed, you know, mm-hmm. students and Cal State LA, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when they interviewed you, was that the first time that you shared your story outside your project?
Yeah.
How did it feel?
Scary. I'm telling you, I didn't really want to talk. It was a group of us, and they approached us, and no one really wanted to say anything, and so I finally did. But it was really scary saying something like, oh, my gosh, espero que no digan más de lo que tengo que decir. Perdón. But at the same time, it was like, you do have to say something so that they can hear the impact, so that they can know the reason why you're doing this. But it was scary.
So it was like an inner conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why do you think no one wanted to say anything from your group students?
I think we were not as passionate, maybe, as Jose Beltran. No, I think we were just scared, you know. Mm-hmm. We were, it was a lot happening. It was just a lot. But I think for me, what made it so amazing was just to see how many people wanted, you know, for this to happen, and how many people were there to support. And there were people of all types, you know. And it was just beautiful to see that this actually mattered to a lot of people, that, you know, yes, in many ways we felt invisible, but you know, there were people that really wanted us to come out, you know, come out of the shadows, right, and be us. Yeah. So that is what I'll take from that march. Been. Yeah.
And ever since that march, have you been back to any of the marches or participating in other kinds of activism?
I think I went back to another event. But yeah, that was about it. Yeah.
So ever since you graduated and left Coffinway, you haven't been as...
Not as active in terms of activism. No, I stay active towards... I guess more on the smaller scale, el Centro Comunitario de las Iglesias, mm-hmm. You know, cuando quieren alguna charla. Por ejemplo, ahorita en el Centro Comunitario de la Iglesia that I was a parishioner before, you know, quieren temas sobre la violencia doméstica, lo que es la salud mental,
mm-hmm.
And me invitan y voy y doy una charla al mes. Es gratis, you know, I don't...
Right.
Mm-hmm. Todo es gratis y es invitan a las personas que quieran ir y lo avisan en todas las misas y van y participan. So he estado hecho eso en varias ocasiones, más que nada. Mm-hmm.
So you see your education to help others, right?
And yeah. Or using what I know, you know, what the job is. So the last topic was 2 weeks ago, and it was on December 10th, and it was on domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And then we have a next one on, you know, sexuality and, you know, what is considered normal. And then we have suicide, and then we're going to head on.
I mean, that's your... community engagement, that's your yeah. activism, right? You're touching people one at a time, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still participating.
So, yeah.
So you have been.
Yeah, active. Yeah. And even here, you know, here, like I told you before, I am, we all work differently in the field.
Right.
You know, some of us mm-hmm. are more open than others when it comes to our personal life. But if we think that our personal life will make a difference in a patient, then, you know, we do share.
Sure.
And I've had students from Cal State LA. I had one in particular, you know, a patient that came in and she was really hesitant about getting services. And, you know, we were talking pretty much about, you know, her going into the master's program and what that mm-hmm. meant and, you know, how was she going to do it? And she was really conflicted. And I decided to share my story with her. And she was actually surprised. And at the same time, felt like, I got this. I can do this. Now I know someone who did it. And you know what helped us to connect? I think I came into work and I came in con una blusa de manga cortita.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw my vacuna.
Your mark.
She saw the mark.
Your Mexican mark.
And I went to make copies, and I came back. And she just said, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
She's like, are you from Mexico? Were you born? I'm like, yeah, I was. And she's like, and I'm like, how come? She's like, oh, because I saw, and I'm like, oh, you saw the marca. She's like, yeah. And that's how she opened up to me. That's how she really opened up about what was going on and what was really troubling her. And I didn't know that this
could. That could mean so much,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's crazy. No, you're still, in your field, you're an activist as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, it doesn't have to be like you're up there in the march.
Mm-hmm.
Holding the sign to make an impact.
There's an interview actually with UCLA and me.
Really?
Yeah. I don't
who
know if you want to. Let's see. If I
was there a student? Was it a...
No, it was. I don't know what it was, but let's see.
And it was in recent or?
No, this was back in 2010.
It was about your work?
Yeah, it was about work. Oh, here it is. This is so old. Yeah, but if you want to check it out.
Yeah, you can share with me later if you want. So you're not new in this then? You're not new to the interviewing?
No.
No, you're not.
Wow, they have so much about you. Yeah, but I'll look for it and I'll send it to you.
Yeah, you can share it later. Okay, so let's come back a little to the questions and your activism. So that was pretty much the first and only organizing, activity that you did with Surge members.
Mm-hmm. Well, besides what was happening on campus.
So you participated in the fundraising events?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you want to share a memory about one of those events? Do you remember? Let's see.
No, there was one... I'm not sure what we were doing. But I think we were selling something, and there was. I was surprised to see that this was a movement not only for Latinos, because I remember that one of the members, Mayra Paricio, I think she was dating someone, I'm not sure where exactly from, but he was Asian.
Okay.
And then I think Elizabeth had a friend who was, I don't know if he was from Russia or somewhere like that. And it was the first time that I saw, you know, I guess people from a different ethnicity coming over either to help or to be in the same fight because they were also in the same situation. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It mm-hmm. opened my eyes to that. And I remember just being surprised by that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because before this, you only saw Latinos?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was doing an event on campus?
Or? We were doing an event, yes. Yes, because I remember a gazebo. I remember we were there. What we were doing. I'm not sure we were selling. We were selling something, okay. But I don't know what it was.
So then you would say that's what it was, inclusive?
Yeah. Yeah. I will say that it was. I mean, I myself didn't know, but yeah, they did try to include him.
Yeah. What about queer folks?
I don't remember it. That I don't remember yet.
For the most part, I would say that mm-hmm. everyone was welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, can you describe any gender equity practices within the space of the your shared use of? What was it like? Were more male, more females? Did they have equal voices? Or was their input more valued?
No, I just think everybody was important. You know, everyone played a role, and we had a very specific amount. I think it was equally females and males, and... yes, there were some that were more active, you know, like Beltran and Jorge. And I remember us, the females, were a little, you know, either more maybe shy at first, but, you know, than they were.
And do you think that had to do with personal issues, personal struggles, or was it that it wasn't encouraged of females to participate?
No, I think it had to do more with the fact that this was all new. Mm-hmm. This was all new, and some of us were still, you know, taking our first steps with sort of coming out, with coming out. And I think we were just being cautious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember I went to Cash for College. I did that twice.
Oh, one of the workshops that they used to do?
When we went to high schools.
Were you going to share some of that?
Yeah, we went to a high school in Inglewood, actually. And I went with Norma and with Norma, and it was, I think it was Joanna and myself. And we went to, I think it was, is it Inglewood High School? And we went and we participated. And it was a very nice experience. And then some other time, I remember that one specifically, but I think we had another one. We had two.
And what was that? The college for the Cash for College.
Cash for College. Yeah.
What was it?
What?
Was it a campaign? A workshop? What was?
Oh, we did a workshop on basically, you know, being undocumented and being able to go to college and what were the resources. Yeah.
And do you remember, were there a lot of students?
No, there were not a lot of students there, but I think if we had a group of maybe 10, you know, but the parents will come in with them. And, you know, it was just a very informal meeting towards the end that they just wanted to know more about how we were doing things. But we were there ready to provide any information that they wanted and, you know, to discuss also about our experience. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I don't know how that came up. But I remember that, yeah.
So again, try to follow up the question. What did you learn as an activist student across the lake? And what would you have wanted to learn? So what did you learn and what would you would like have what would you wanna learn?
I think again, como se dieron las cosas, you know, I was not as active as I would have liked. I, in many ways, it was the beginning of Surge, but it was also the end for me,
right,
as a student. Mm-hmm. And I learned that I was not alone, you know, and I learned that there were other people that felt the way I did, you know, and that made a big difference for me, and it made me want to continue and pursue even more what I wanted to do, and made it seem okay. What I wish I had learned, like, I just didn't know all the details of, mm-hmm. you know, the laws, you know, how things actually worked. I didn't. And I wish I could have learned more of that. I just, you know, heard about them, let them be, but I was not as informed politically, I guess, about mm-hmm. everything.
So you wish you would have been more involved in learning about the policies?
And yeah. Stuff? If I had the time, yes.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did that experience of feeling more included from your community, did that change something at the personal level outside school, outside the Surge community?
Well, I think because of Surge, because of meeting other students and because of what we were doing as a group, mm-hmm. I think it made it a lot more, not that it made it, well, I was more open mm-hmm. to be able to share my story outside, you know, mm-hmm. so I was able to share my story during my internship. I was doing an internship at working with the Latino community I forgot the name of the agency, but there, you know, I was able to share. They wanted, they had a, next to the building, there was a, like a student center, and they were interested in providing information to the students, you know, again, cash for college in some way. And, you know, they also wanted someone who could talk about being a dreamer and what it was like, or being an AP 540 student. And so I invited a friend who was in the same situation, and we both went and talked. So that was the first time we actually opened up and share our story and share that it is possible to do something. And then from there, there was that interview that I did for work. And it was, it gave me the courage to do it, you know, based on, también la experiencia de surge.
To do the interview or to share?
To share the more personal, because I did the interview. So my supervisor at the time said, hey, you know, why don't you get yourself interviewed for this project and share your story with them about how you help our community, the Latinos that came into that clinic, and how you tried to provide resources, be there for them when it came to their immigration status.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you share your story as an undocumented student? And so I went to the interview, and I did the whole interview with them, and I didn't share anything, right? And I think they felt like disappointed that there was nothing really special about my interview. And so towards the end, we just finished, and then they said, okay, we're all wrapped up. And I said, oh, but you didn't ask me anything else. They're like, no, that was it, unless you have something else to share. And I said, I was hesitant, and I said, well, you know, I wanted to share about my experience as an undocumented student and how I myself try to help the patients here. How come you didn't tell us? And so we started the whole interview again. And it was selected. It was selected as one of the stories that they wanted to share about.
And let me ask you, what was your... what did you want to achieve? What was your hope for sharing your story at this interview and also at the other event that you did with your friend?
The event that I did with my friend, it was to get students motivated that they were able to do something, you know, that they don't need to stop. At the interview at work, it was getting, so the march was in 2007, right? Mm-hmm. And this was probably 2010, yeah, 2000. It was probably 2010. And the intention there was, at the moment that I came into that clinic, we're talking about the West Side.
Mm-hmm.
And that community, or the my coworkers, were mainly 80% Caucasian. And there were some issues, you know, with a couple of them where, you know, they didn't really, I guess, were not as open to having, you know, Latino co-workers or social workers that will come in. And so it was, I wanted to share a part of me where I was vulnerable so that they could understand how things really are, you know, how tough it is for someone who is not here legally, you know, at least if I could say it like that. And so I wanted to create that impact.
And it, the community that they were serving was mainly, you think, immigrants?
No.
No.
During that time, I mean, we're talking about closer to Santa Monica. And so at that moment, no, the majority of the people that were there that were coming into services, it was mixed. But the majority were Caucasian, African American, Latino and Asian, you know, and other ethnicities were a minority. Even when I started working for that agency, it wasn't until I left that we started having more of the Latino coworkers. I clearly remember when I was in an office where I was working with two of my coworkers were white, one was Filipina, and then I was sitting in that room with them. And then came my friend Rosario, you know, who came in to work, and she was put in our group. And I was so happy to have someone else that was like me. Yeah, so little by little.
It was different. Also undocumented?
No. No.
She was just different.
Yeah, she became my friend doing that.
So, how did your participation in the student activism constantly shape your personal, professional, political, philosophical growth? How did it shape your activism within the immigrants' rights movement after graduation? So we touched briefly how to change in sharing your story, and is anything else that have that experience that surge and constantly influence in any other way your life?
Just being able to give back, and you know, just being able to be able to share my story and motivate, you know, patients that come in that are students and that are going through that, and letting them know that it is possible, you know, or even those students that come in and that, you know, they are documented, they were born here, but they just don't have the motivation, and they're like, well, I don't know what I want, or it's taking me so long. And then being able to share a part of you where you can motivate them as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's just a recap of what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. Can you describe the impact that you think Surge has had on the undocumented youth movement and the immigrants' rights movement?
I don't know if I can speak too much of it now, but I think back then it was... I mean, not every undocumented student wants to participate in it, right?
Yeah.
But for those who were open and who were into it, I think it was a place where, or a group where you just were able to be yourself, were able to be seen, were able to be counted, where you didn't have to be invisible. So it played a major role in the students that really wanted a difference. Yeah.
I think that is just finding that community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make others feel more encouraged. We're done with the questions, but I do want to ask you, you touch about how when you got your residency, you started working for the county. Will you mind sharing, if it's okay with you, will you mind sharing what was that about? I mean, after so long of being in school and working in jobs where your level of education was questioned, but what were you doing these jobs if you had a master's degree? How did it feel? How was the shift?
You know, I think it was a lot of disbelief at the beginning. So
like I said, I left no cheese, and I went to work with my Nina cleaning houses. I helped her with two houses in a specific. One is, they are amazing people, very open and caring, and they are actually writers. And I'm sure you've seen some of the movies, but I mean, they were the writers of, for example, Tarzan, you know? Okay. So they were really nice, and I never felt like less than or anything like that. But then the other couple where we will go, not that they were racist or mean or anything, but just the feeling, the vibe that you got was very different. It was not as welcoming. It was like, we're the boss and you're here to do this job. And so, you know, when I was with them for about 3-4 months, and then after that, I told them that, you know, I basically said, thank you for the opportunity to allow my Nina, you know, to bring me in to help her. And, you know, that I was actually going to leave or stop working because I had found a job. And they were surprised. And they said, well, where are you going? And I said, oh, I'm going with the county. And they're like, to do what? And I said, oh, I got hired as a psychiatric social worker. And they were just dumbfounded. They were like, oh, we didn't know that you had gone to school. Okay. And I said, yes, I do. I actually have a master's degree in social work. And they were really, really surprised. And I noticed that they kind of, after that, because I still came back, you know, like I gave like a 2-week notice. And so I came back and the treatment was very different. Yeah, I could tell that the treatment was more of an equal treatment than just, you know, someone that worked there. The lady was actually a kindergarten teacher, and he was a restaurant owner. And so I think, you know, it just made it seem like here I am at their level in some ways. I left and I started working with the county, and going from cleaning toilets, you know, cleaning the bathroom to working at an office, you know, and providing a different kind of service. It was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I'm doing this. It was scary. It was scary, but it was something that I had worked for. Yeah. And something happened with Surge. I don't know if it was, there was an event, but something, I don't know if it was Christmas, I'm not sure, but I started working in July with the county, and I don't know how it happened, but I remember that there was an event, and that I went, and Erica was there, la hermana de Angie, and she was sitting across from me, and I was just so happy. And I think about this and I say, oh my gosh, yo creo que I came across as someone maybe that was se creyó, you know, se me subió maybe. Because I went in there and I had my I had a paycheck with me, you know? And I clearly remember that it said like $50,000 that I had made, $50,000 or it had the amount that I was going to make a month or something like that. That's what I remember. And I showed it to her and I said, look at what I'm going to be making. And she was very happy for me, but I still remember that time as I couldn't believe.
Right.
That me, you know, me, la niña del pueblito, la que andaba en calzoncitos, was able to come and, you know, had made it happen and was going to make, you know, a decent amount of money.
I mean,
and at that moment, it just seemed, a lot, you know, a lot. Yeah. Compared to what I was making. I mean, my Nina, she was so, so grateful. And I mean, she was so nice. And, you know, she will pay me half of what she will make, you know, and some of these places only paid her $150. So, you know, it was not a lot that I will get in a week. Maybe in a week I will make $200, you know. So it was just unbelievable, I guess, that I had made it. But again, I clearly remember showing that to Erica. It was Erica. And then I felt bad. I felt bad for, I kind of felt like I was showing off. And I felt bad that maybe I made her uncomfortable that here I had made it, you know, and that she was still struggling. I don't know if you can understand me. But I felt embarrassed and I felt bad afterwards. And I just put it away. And it's something that I still think about, like, how did you do that? Why did you do that? But I guess I was just proud.
Right.
I was just proud and I just wanted to share. And it meant this is how much I'm worth in some ways, you know, or this is what I have worked for all these years.
Right.
And I guess I just wanted to share. And I don't know if I just did it the wrong way.
I mean, who knows, right?
I don't know what her thoughts are, you know.
We'll have to ask Erica what she thought about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you were proud and you wanted to share with them because they were more than your friends. They were like your family.
Yeah. But you know how things can be. They can be misinterpreted.
True.
And everything. Oh, yeah, se le subió or whatever. But it's still something that is here, you know, that I still remember that I did. It hasn't gone away. And, you know, from there on, as time went by,
as time went by, I remember that there is something that maybe
it's just my personality. I don't know. But once we had an event at work where it was about getting to know your peers, you know, getting to know who they are and
at
the county. Oh. Yes. So it was more of a, like a little retreat for us to get to know each other and have that time. And so, you know, the boss, the main boss, you know, he basically was asking, you know, who knows, the name of the cleaning personnel, you know, the cleaning staff.
Okay.
And the only one who knew them was me. It was me. You know, I made the time to get to know them, you know. But again, they were two Latina co-workers, you know. Again, the clinic itself transformed towards the end. When I left, we had more Latinas or Latinos working there. It was more mixed. But at the beginning, when I came in 2007, it was mainly a Caucasian, you know,
dominated place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I knew who they were. I knew their names. I mean, this was actually given to me by one of them. And this has, this was given to me in 2011.
Oh, wow. So that has like, been with you quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Was given to me by Nelly. And it was Nelly. So I think, again, I'm not sure if it's my personality or if it's a combination of knowing where I come from, you know,
right.
And being able to, you know, being able to understand them.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Well, we are all done with the questions officially. Is there anything else you would like to add?
I think I said it already, that I wish Surja had been there from the beginning, you know, because again, when I was done with the bachelor's, it was, I went into a deep depression as to, okay, entonces, ¿para qué estudié? You know, si no puedo hacer nada, estoy gastando mi tiempo, you know, perdiendo mi tiempo, you know, all these things. And I think it would have been really helpful to be able to know that. And the people that I did know, you know, that were undocumented or that were in that situation, they didn't want to talk about it. You know, they didn't want to see themselves as that. Because I do have two of my friends that came from the same high school. They were actually the ones that went to Cal State LA first and that helped me get the job at Dolcini's. Mm-hmm. One of them is actually an anesthesiologist, and the other one is an engineer. And but they were not as involved. All they wanted was just, you know, to get ahead. And that's how I understood, you know, that we're all different, you know, but that doesn't mean that we're bad people. It's just the goal is different. And I myself needed more a community where I felt like I fit it, you know.
Well, thank you so much, Helena, for sharing those memories and your time with me.